You know, we at Agape Chapel, we've been praying for you guys, and we're going to keep praying for you guys, because that's what it's about, is growing in Jesus. I've had the privilege to be, like Dan said, with Pastor Chuck for some 42 years, and, you know, I don't know any different than just loving Jesus and teaching the Bible, because that's what he taught me. You know, I was almost with him every day for the past 10 years of his life, and you know, to get around a guy, you know, it's one thing to see a guy in the pulpit, but it's another thing to hang out with him, you know. And we'd be driving along so many times, and you know what our conversation was normally about? You would think it would be some deep, deep spiritual thing. And he says, "Terry, can you believe the way that motorcycle just cut us off? Man, we should go get him, you know." And this is our pastor. And I mean, we would have just fun being a guy. Yeah, I know if he was around right now, instead of escaping up to heaven, he would love to sit here and be with you men and to share God's truth. So, unfortunately, you got to settle with me today. So, but it's God's Word. That's what we're excited about. We're excited about Jesus. If you have your Bible, if you could turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. This past week, I've been meditating, thinking about Psalm 19. Where in Psalm 19 it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Amen, guys? Amen. God's Word is perfect. You know that God has a perfect plan for your life? God has a perfect desire for you to come in fellowship with Him, and for you to know Him, and for you to walk with Him. Not just for today, but for tomorrow. And then He has a plan for you when your life finishes. He has a plan for eternity. And I'm so glad that God has a plan. Because you know what? My plans, I normally mess them up. But when God's in control, it's a marvelous thing. And so we want to take a look at a bunch of guys, how they reacted to Jesus. And we'll take a look at a couple things, time permitting, here in Mark. And I think we'll be challenged today by the Lord on a few issues. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive him." No, not so much about the door. "And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up, and they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." What a great story we have. Where we have Jesus, it tells us he's up in Capernaum. And that's the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. It really was the headquarters of Jesus, if you could have a headquarters, where he spent a lot of time of his ministry there. He's been gone for a while, and he had just came back, and he entered his house, and he would just probably try to get some rest. But word got out that Jesus was in town. Word got out that Jesus was in a house. You know, I don't know about you guys, but any place that Jesus is, I want to be. And so the word got around the city. Before you know it, that house got filled. It got so filled, you know, overflowing. In fact, it tells us that they couldn't even fit in the doors. Like this doorway here, there would be people standing outside there trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, trying to hear a word of what he had to say. So Jesus decided to take an opportunity. You know, you get any preacher and you get a crowd, what's the preacher going to want to do? He's going to want to stand up and preach. So Jesus said, it tells us that he preached the word unto them. And I think it's so beautiful, and it's so sad. I wish we had recorders like that back then so we could heard what Jesus was preaching. But we don't. But, you know, the beauty is that he was preaching, notice, the Word. And it's so important, guys, that we are men of the Word, that we study God's Word. And I'm so blessed that you men have chosen to be here on a Saturday morning to grow in God's Word. You know, because that's what people need to hear. They need to hear what God's truth, God's Word has to say. You know, men's, the things that they have to say, as Jesus, as it tells us in Jeremiah, they're like a broken cistern. you know, men's philosophies, men's ideas, even from coming from the pulpit, if they're, you hear guys talking about me, 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 and their experiences, you know, it really doesn't cut it, does it? Because as we're sitting out there, as we're growing, we want to hear the Word of God. Yeah. And so Jesus is setting this example as He was teaching him the Word of God. But you know what I like us to do is we want to take, sometimes as I'm looking at God's Word, I think it's good to put our sandals on, those who are in the crowd, to get an idea of what's going on, try to feel what these guys are doing. And so the Scripture tells us there was four guys. I don't know if they're Manny, Moe, and Jack, or who, what the name of these guys was. It's going to be any of us four. And he says that they had this their friend. I'm going to call the friend Joe. I don't know his name, but I like to put a name to the guy. He's hurting. He's really hurting. He's laying in a cot. Maybe these friends were hanging around them. They were fishermen. This is a fishing community. They knew each other. And they said, we want to help our friend. Back earlier in chapter 35 of chapter 1, it talks about how Jesus was mourning in the same town at the same place. He was there praying and going out to pray. And it tells us the verse right before that, 32, he says, at evening, when sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So within that same city, right before Jesus, you know, we find Jesus there in Capernaum in our story, he had been there healing many. For whatever reason, this fellow didn't make it that night. You know, he's still laying in the cot. Can you imagine being one of the guys that maybe you've heard of what had happened maybe a week or so earlier? And he says, oh, we got to bring Joe to see Jesus. Folks, guys, I think one of the key things that we can learn from this story already, we need to bring our friends to Jesus. We need to bring our hurting friends to the Lord. Our wives, our kids, our aunts, our uncles, our co-workers, anybody that we see, we need to bring them to Jesus. And I think the way it starts is that we need to start praying for them. You know, I have a good friend of mine, he's in heaven now, a guy named Ray. He used to tell me, he says, Terry, you need to start a prayer list. A continuous prayer list where you put your friends and your families and your neighbors on that prayer list and you start praying for their needs and you keep it in your Bible or keep it next to your bedside and you start praying and you watch what God will do. And I would tell you and I want to encourage you that we take the example of these men and we bring them to our friends to Jesus. But you know, when they got there, they start walking up to the door. You got to picture them. They're carrying this guy, their friend Joe, on this cot. And as you approach the building, if you're holding one of the corners of this cot, all of a sudden you look up there at the house and says, oh man, there's no way in. You see the crowd pressing on the outside. So what are guys going to do? Say, oh, maybe Manny or one of the guys says, hey, let's get up on the roof. And boom, 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 boom. Up they went. All the four, I don't know how they got up there. Maybe there was a back entrance or they just, you know, raised them up. We don't know. But then they start looking and say, hey, there's no door entrance. How are we going to get, there's no, you know, roof trap where we could go down through the roof. And one of the guys said, no problem. Well, I got this one covered. And all of a sudden you start ripping apart the roof. I like these guys. They were not going to be stopped or deterred in any way of bringing their friend to Jesus. You know, the enemy would want to try to stop us, wouldn't he? He would love to try to pull the carpet out from underneath you and bring you discouragement for bringing your friends and family to Jesus. But guys, I pray that we would learn this and that our hearts would be moved with compassion. Obviously, these guys love this fella. And so they weren't deterred, and so they started ripping apart the roof. Can you imagine if you happen to be the homeowner of that house? Also, first of all, you know, you probably Jesus showed up, and your wife's probably a little upset because the house isn't cleaned yet, you know. And you got all these people climbing all over your furniture, pressed in there, and they're just knocking things over. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and all, what's going on up there? You know, the roof's being opened up. And then you got Jesus just preaching. And all you're standing there preaching, and all of a sudden these guys start lowering this man down on a cot with a rope. I imagine Jesus probably stopped his sermon and started chuckling. He goes, probably thought, oh, look at these guys. These guys are great, you know, as they came on down. You know, and so the story goes on there. And I love it in verse 5 where it says, when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The faith of these guys. They were thinking, like, if we only get him to Jesus. They were believing in Jesus and believing in God of the that was, you know, the God of all possibilities. Even when the doctors say no, you know what? I still bring people to Jesus because we forget the great physician hasn't voted in yet. He might want to touch and heal. I imagine we have testimonies right in here of how God's touched people or touched family people, some miracles. When the doctor said no, God says yes. You know, so we need to bring it to Jesus. And they saw their faith. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive God or sin but God only? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, so we have other guys who are now we're to take a look at here. The reactions to the statement of Jesus, there was this group of religious people. You know, sometimes within the church we get kind of religious. And we get this like we know it all. We know what's best, don't we? And these scribes are sitting in the corner, just kind of mumbling amongst themselves, and they were saying, hey, who does this Jesus think he is? The only one that can forgive sins is God only. And they started complaining. You know, their statement that they said is correct. Because truly, the only person that can forgive sin is God. But they have to determine who Jesus is. They haven't come to grips to understand that Jesus is the Son of God, that He's God Himself, incarnate of here upon the earth, and He has the ability to sin, to forgive sin. You know, Lord willing, I won't get mad at, I mean, we'll get, do something where my wife would get mad at me today. Hopefully I'll have a good day. You know how that is, guys. But, you know, if I happen to do something wrong, and one of you guys come up to me later in the day and say, you know what? What you did against your wife, you're forgiven. I go, oh, that's nice. I really appreciate that. But, you know, it really doesn't cut it, does it? But until I hear from my wife say, honey, I forgive you for what you did because I ought against her, that's what I'm really looking for. And really, isn't that truly what we're looking for, you guys? Is to hear the Lord to tell us that our sins are forgiven. You know, and the thing is beautiful as you go on. Again, is I think of these four guys. What were they going there for? Their friend was sick. He was hurting. He was laying there paralyzed in that cot. And they did all this work, and they believed God, and they lowered him down. They lowered their friend down there, and Jesus says, thy son, you know, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they might have said, time out, Jesus. That's not why we brought him here. We brought him here in order to, you know, have a physical healing, that touched by you. We've seen you, we've heard how many times you've done this in the past. That's what he really needs. But, you know, the thing is so beautiful that Jesus saw this man's greatest need. I believe, man, the greatest need that we have, the greatest need of mankind is the forgiveness of sin. Greater than his physical, you know, condition that he was in is to hear those words, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, I imagine When the young guy or whoever he was, when he heard the words, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, you know, he probably forgot about how he was hurting. Do you remember the day when Jesus said to you, your sins are forgiven thee? Oh, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven thee. I imagine he was laying there and he was probably wanting to dance and sing and rejoice because God has taken that weight of sin off of his shoulders. At that moment, he knew the grace, the peace, and the love of God. To be in peace with God. There's no greater thing that a man could experience than the forgiveness of God. I imagine that guy was rejoicing. Verse 8, it tells us, immediately when Jesus perceived in the Spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? What is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee? Or does it say, rise, take up thy bed and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way in thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them, insomuch they were all amazed, glorifying God, saying, we never saw this in this fashion. So Jesus asked them. He really did ask him, well, what's easier to say? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, rise, take up thy bed and walk. You know, to say that, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, could be just empty words. Unless you had the authority and the ability to forgive sin. And the scribes were questioning him on this. And so, I think it's really important that we take note here. That Jesus was demonstrating his authority and his ability to forgive sins. And that he told that guy, he says, in order that you might know who I am, that you might know that my word is true, and the things that I say that you can count on, he turned and he looked at that man. He says, take up thy bed and walk. Can you imagine that? This guy's just laying there, just, oh, thank you, Lord. I bet my sins be forgiven thee. And Jesus says, and, you know, take up thy bed and walk. I caught and just get out of here. At that point, that guy just sprung up. But I don't know. We don't know how long he's been laying there. But it certainly appears like for a long time. Maybe he used to go out with the guys, go fishing. Maybe he used to be one of the team, or, you know, I don't know if they played soccer back then or played ball or whatever they did. They probably grew up together. We don't know what age that he was stricken. He was laying there, but it appears to be for some long time. But all of a sudden, to have his body back, he sprung up and he went, you know, running out the door with his cot in hand. Ah, look at this. I'm healed. You know, guys, I think it's so important that we see here that where Jesus has the ability, that he proved to those guys his word is true. He, by that man walking out the door, it demonstrated the words that he spoke to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You can count on it. You know, he's still speaking those words today. Thy sins are forgiven thee. You know, as I hear these things of Jesus, and as we look at these and we say, I think I better believe and trust in what God's Word has to say. Maybe today you walked in here feeling, you know, I'm here. I'm feeling a little troubled. I'm feeling a little like I haven't had a good week. I've been in rebellion against God. You know what Jesus says to you this morning? If you turn to Him, He says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He tells us, in fact, in the little epistle they mentioned earlier, 1 John, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 8, he says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. By me just going to Jesus this morning and say, Lord, please forgive me. And at that point, he does forgive me. And I'm cleansed. It's almost like taking a common cleanser and put it in your sink. You got a dirty, and you scrub it all clean. As we confess ourselves before the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, I've blown it. Lord, I've been rebellion against you. Lord, would you please forgive me? And at that moment, you know what he says to you? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The words of Jesus that we can count on, I think it's so important later on when He tells us in John chapter 11, verse 25, He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though they were dead, yet they shall live. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Guys, do you believe that? You believe that because Jesus demonstrated that He is the Son of God, that His words are true, and that we can count on it. Guys, we live in a troubling world out there. So many things, we don't know what to be true. But let me tell you guys this morning.
Uh-oh. We lost this.
Sorry. You know what, that's what happens when a guy gets excited. I'm excited about Jesus, guys. And the beauty is that when we go outside this door, and we head our separate ways today, we can count on God's Word. We don't have the shifting sands of this world that are going to guide us and lead us. We're to have God's Word because God's Word is true. God's Word is perfect. You know, I would encourage you guys to study God's Word, to be in God's Word. Turn with me real quickly as we have a few more minutes together. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, just a few more pages over. And there was a bunch of guys together in Mark chapter 8. And I think it's such a beautiful portion of Scriptures, starting in verse number 34. And He called the people to Himself and His disciples also. You know, He called His disciples. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, and if you don't, we want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. But if you call yourself Jesus as your Lord, guess what? You are His disciples. So these next verses apply to you. It applies to me this morning. And He said unto them, whosoever desires to come after me. Guys, do you want to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't hear you. Do you guys want to follow Jesus?
Yeah.
All right. He tells us a few things that we need to do. What's the first thing that we need to do to follow Jesus? He says, tells us that we need to deny Himself. The second thing, it's real simple, we need to pick up a cross. And the third thing is we need to follow me or follow Jesus. You know, guys, when you read that, go, well, that's pretty simple. First one is kind of difficult, isn't it? Let him deny himself. What is he talking about here? You mean I need to go join a convent or, you know, become a monk? Or what am I supposed to do here? No. What Jesus is saying is that we need to put Jesus first in our life. Following, you know, living for the gospel can be real simple if we just simply apply God's principles in our lives. You know, God wants us to enjoy life. He says, I've come to give you life, and that more abundant. He wants us to enjoy our family, enjoy our work life, enjoy the things that we do. But what He wants us to do first is to die self, otherwise living for self, and make it that thing in us that wants to say that Terry needs to be number one. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and maybe it's one of your memory verses. If it isn't, I encourage you to memorize Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says, seek ye first, notice, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what Matthew chapter 6 is talking about? Everything that we need in life. If we put God first, God will take care of everything that we need. We need to deny self. The Scripture tells us that it tells us that we need to learn to die to self daily. You know, guys, that's a learning process. You know how a lot of times we learn? We learn through failure. Those days that where I learned to when I live for myself that day, you know, at the end of the day, as I go to bed and I want to just kind of relax, I add up what the total of my day was worth. It always adds up to be a big fat zero. Have you ever had any of those zero days?
Yeah.
I've had too many of them. But when I live for Jesus and I seek Him first and I deny myself, oh my goodness, God blesses the socks. I don't have socks on me today, so I must be blessed. He blesses the socks off me. The second thing that he says, we need to deny ourselves, and we need to take up our cross. Take up His cross. Notice, not our cross, His cross. Jesus knew where He's going. It isn't very far along before He's going to go to Mount Calvary, to Golgotha. He's going to experience, and we're going to here celebrate communion here in a moment. He's going to experience the agony of the cross. Those disciples knew what the cross meant. It didn't mean some, you know, pretty little necklace that we wear around our neck or we see. The cross meant death. It says we need to follow our cross. We need to follow the cross of Jesus and live for Him. And the third thing that He says is that we need to follow Jesus. Where was Jesus going? He was going to heaven. He was going out to minister the Word of God. And guys, if you really want to know Jesus and you want to experience the greatest life, the greatest adventure that you could ever experience, follow Jesus. Get up every morning and pray and seek Him, and you'll experience life like you never, ever have experienced before. But you know, He does what I want to conclude here, where it tells us that whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Jesus just puts it to us, doesn't it, guys? It's pretty simple. I think we all can understand what He's saying. If you're going to live for this world, enjoy it. Enjoy it to the max. Because that's all you're going to get in life. And when life's all over with, guess what? You're going to lose your soul. You know, so from the pulpit, so often we hear us pastors preach so much about heaven. But there's an alternative to heaven. And that's what Jesus is talking about, is hell. And the decision that we need to make is who Jesus is. By following Jesus, we'll determine our eternal destinations. He says, what is a prophet? To gain the whole world. To have everything that you can imagine. And miss out on the blessings of God. What does it profit your life? What does it profit your family? What does it profit your marriage? What does it profit your work life? Nothing. If you live for Him, you'll have God to help you. You'll have God to bless you. And you'll have God to strengthen you. This morning we took a look at some guys, how they reacted to Jesus. We saw a man that was hurting. We saw a man that was crippled. He saw a man, I believe, that was crippled more physically. He was crippled spiritually as the weight of sin had laid down upon his heart. And we saw the touch of Jesus. Not only speak forgiveness to him, but also to heal him. Then we saw Jesus to lay out a challenge to his disciples. So if you want to follow me, you need to do three things. You need to deny yourself. You need to pick up your cross. And you need to follow me. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the grace, Lord, that you've given us in your word. Father, we thank you for this marvelous story that shows us that, Lord, that you have the power and you have the ability to forgive sins. Lord, we thank you for that and for the challenge that you gave to your disciples and to us this morning to go for it, to follow you, Lord. And I just pray that you would help all of us men, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, as guys, as every head's bowed and every eye's closed, and maybe you're like that man that was laying on the cot and you came walking in here with the heaviness of sin, and you want to just simply know that your sins are forgiven. Would you just please just lift up your hand, and I want to pray for you right now. Please just slip up your hand if you want to know the forgiveness of God. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I just want to pray for the hands, Lord, you see, Lord. I just pray that they might know your tender mercy. Lord, that you might know the forgiveness of sin, how you've taken his sins, Lord, and you cast them now far as the east is from the west. Lord, I just pray that they might know that they're born again. Lord, that how the price was paid at Calvary for their forgiveness, and they know you as Lord and Savior. And now I want to pray. I want to ask any of you guys, this morning and say, Terry, I've been kind of not going for it 100%. I want to take that challenge that Jesus gave to His disciples to follow Him. And then you might want to say, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to sell out. I want to deny myself. I want to pick up the cross. I want to follow Jesus. And if this is you guys this morning, won't you please lift your hand up and I want to pray for you. Just lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I just pray for these men. I pray for them. Lord, as they want to sell out for You. Lord, they want to deny self, Father. They want to seek You first. Lord, I just pray by Your Holy Spirit that, Lord, that You might do that marvelous work as they surrender their lives to You, Jesus. What should we render unto the Lord for all that You've done for us, Lord? And I just pray that You just see those hands. You see the hearts right now. As Lord, as we want to live for You, Lord, we want to sell out for You, Lord, because there's truly nothing in this world that has to offer us compared to what Your love and Your grace has for us. We just thank You and we just praise You in Jesus' name. And we all said together, Amen. Well, the guys are going to come up and share the elements for communion. As we're to share in communion here. You know, in Mark chapter 15, it talks about how they took Jesus. And it tells them that the soldiers led him away to a hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple. And they twisted a crown of thorns on his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed. And they spat on him, bowing their knee and worshiping him. Verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took purple off of him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. You know, that's what we're celebrating right here this morning. The cost of our forgiveness. The cost that it took, that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for us. You know what really, as I look at that, and I get stopped in my tracks when I read this portion of the Scriptures. Jesus didn't have to die for us, but He did it willingly. He said, no man takes my life, but I give it to you. He says, for the joy that's set before me, I endure the cross. I think that some way or another, Jesus had a glimpse of us men gathering here this Saturday morning in 2014. He says, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go through the suffering for our lives. And He said that they beat Jesus. In fact, they hit His face. And these are professional soldiers, guys. Now they're moved away from the public guard they had him. Now they're down with the professional soldiers. And they said they beat Him. In fact, it tells us in the Scriptures that He was so marred, they couldn't even recognize Him as a man. The beating was so bad. But yet He did it because He loved us. And as you see your communion element here, if you guys can figure out how to do this, take off the top of, and you have this little wafer here. This wafer represents the body that was broken for us. We talked about earlier the stripes that were laid upon Him in order that we might be healed. You know, guys, as we think about this, the healing touch, not only the forgiveness of sin, Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenheartedness, the destroyed life, the shattered hopes, the shattered dreams, to heal us physically, but sometimes we need a touch of God to heal us emotionally. Maybe that's where you're at. And I believe that God wants to heal you right now. And as we pray and as we receive this, let's thank God for all that He did and went through for our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this element, this bread, as we hold in our hands, as You did with Your disciple. And He said, He told us and instructed us, do this in remembrance of Me. The remembrance what it took, the price that was paid for our salvation. The price that was paid in order that we might have that marvelous healing touch, Lord, that only You can bring. Lord, I pray for any needs here, anybody that needs a physical healing, anybody that needs a spiritual healing, where their hope and their life has been shattered, I just pray that You might restore and that You might touch. Thank You, Jesus, for the forgiveness that You give us. In Jesus' name, shall we take part together. And then if you grab your cup and if you're able to pull it back, it's kind of cool to think that this is a cup that Jesus shared there at the Last Supper, as He started the communion service that we're doing right now. He said, this is the cup. This is the New Testament of My blood. The New Covenant. Isn't it cool that God has come into agreement with us? It's agreement of grace. Agreement of love. You know, the thing that's so beautiful is God's mercies are new every morning. He's committed to you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you guys. You say, well, Terry, I blew it today. Yeah, guess what? Join the boat. I've blown it too. That's why God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. And so as we lift up this cup and as we drink it, He says, you're to do this in remembrance of Me until the day that I come, until the day that I return. Jesus Christ, as we do this, we're remembering that God has a perfect plan. The perfect plan is that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, guys. So let's pray and we'll take part together. Father, we thank You for this cup. We thank You for the privilege to be able to have this cup, to hold it as You did one time with Your disciples so long ago. And Lord, we thank You for the promise of the new covenant. Lord, on that cross, how You died for forgiveness of sin. And 3 days later, You rose again for the newness of life that we're able to experience, victorious over sin, victorious over death, Lord. We thank You for the victory that we have in You, Jesus. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take part together. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Guys, I would encourage you, don't let this stop today. Tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, find a place to go to church. If you don't have a church to go to, get in the Bible. Monday morning, get into the Bible. Tuesday morning, every morning, kind of go to there and say, Lord, would You please speak to me? Guess what? He wants to speak to you, encourage you. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part today.
All right. Praise the Lord. That was a great message, Pastor Terry. Thank you. Very encouraging to know that God's still on the throne. He still does miracles and He forgives us for our sins. And we just want to praise the Lord just a few more minutes and here. But we want to continue to do that throughout the day. David, prayed 3 times a day, worshiped the Lord, and then he realized that wasn't enough. And so he did it all the time in between, too. So 24/7, we can lift up our praises to the Lord. So stand for this last song, if you would, and let's just worship the Lord. For those of you who don't